Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Did we lose you?
I'm back. It just, okay. I got unmuted. So here, our assignment from yesterday, what patterns are you aware of? And this was related to choosing a major relationship in your life and looking at what we learned or are learning. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. The major relationship that I was looking at was with my ex-husband, and we've been broken up for quite a while, but that relationship has sort of reappeared in my life recently because he's been asking me to help him with some paperwork because I mean the content
because
is
you can.
Huh?
Because you can.
What?
Because that's an area of expertise.
Well, it's actually because this is content that we were married in his country, divorced in mine. We got divorced in my, and so then, but he never got the divorce recognized in his country. So even though it's been years and years, he never dealt with it. But now, in order to do it, he needs my help doing some, you know. And it turns out it's probably going to involve me having to, like, fly to a consulate and look, all of this stuff. And I've just been noticing a lot of anger coming up around that, and which was absolutely a pattern in our relationship. So the pattern that I was looking at was sort of the ping pong between, like, be the right person, be accommodating, you know, this was a person that, you know, was really important to you, you should be willing to do whatever, and then anger and resentment.
You've seen throughout the relationship, that same be accommodating, be resentful and angry.
To the point where when we broke up, I was just rage, you know.
Repression is not a good strategy for happiness, is it?
No. And when I was looking at sort of what I learned from that relationship, it was also very much that place that, I don't know, the image that was coming up, like, put your own air mask on first, you know. I really got to see that trying to live for somebody else and live to make somebody else happy, like, that it did not work.
And just a kind of a curiosity question, but I think an important one. Can you see now that it didn't make him happy either? So both of you lost, which is always the case when we're following ego's guidance, right? Mess up as many lives as possible. Laura, where does that leave you now? It sounds like you are going to do this. Can you do it? Are you seeing a way to do it that isn't self-sacrifice, isn't accommodating, but is actually a choice for you about how you choose to be so that you don't wind up with that resentment and anger?
Yeah, and, you know, I was able to process this on my last reflective listening buddy call, and that was really helpful. So I feel like I realized that part of where the anger is coming from is that I've kind of been struggling with dating recently and sort of the story of, you know, that it's being upset about being single and not, you know, not being able to find someone and all that, and just realizing that engaging with him and going through this process is kind of forcing me to get in touch with those feelings a little bit, and, you know, that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so it felt like once I was kind of able to touch into that and realize what some of that charge was, like, I haven't really seen it, but it's like since then I haven't had that same anger, you know, about it or felt.
Yeah. And hopefully one of the things that gets pointed out in this is ego wants to torture you about being single, and I would bet part of that is the hope that you will go into another relationship without having resolved these issues, so that you'll make a similar choice and be the same person and continue this karma.
Wow. Yeah, that's good to see.
Good to see. Yes. Yeah, it really is. I mean, the number of times that life saves us from ourselves, or I guess more properly, saves us from ego and karma. And we're very unhappy in the process, usually, as we're being saved.
I look back and I'm like, man, I'm so glad I didn't just immediately get into a relationship right after that, because, I don't know if I would have found practice. I don't know if I, you know, like.
Yeah. And you'd have picked, and you'd have picked the same person. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Different body, but the same person. Yeah, that's just how we do it.
Yeah, so the challenge, I think, is to be able to apply that to now and be like, okay,
yes,
life might be saving me now, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura. It's so helpful, right, Jerry, to take the time to look for the pattern, because when we look for the pattern, we can see the karma operating. And it's so important that we have a way to process what's really going on for us when we're identified as a way of stepping out of that behavior pattern. And just, it's so powerful what you just said to Laura, which is that the pattern is just programmed to repeat itself. And we're caught in the experience of the content that has actually nothing to do with what's going on. So this request triggers a place karmically that needs to be resolved, and we are made to think that it's about the current content rather than whatever is unresolved that maintains the karma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so to be able to just sit with what's really going on for me, what's really going on for me, and then being able to get in touch with that allows us to be present to the circumstance rather than react from a karmic pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And seeing the pattern helps us to realize the similarity of the content, which helps us see the process.
Yes. Yeah, that thingy that you said, you end up meeting the same person or being in relationship with the same person, because that's the only way the karma moves forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Whoa. It's exciting.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, right. When we step back like that, it's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Virginia.
Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning.
What are you seeing?
Well, I guess what I'm seeing, I'm a couple days behind, but what I'm seeing is I don't do the choosing. I let other people do the choosing.
You choose to have other people choose.
Right. I choose to have other people choose. Well, mostly I'm just kind of a sleeper on that. And then the choosing, you know, kind of it's the pattern, you know, it's the karmic pattern for me. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do you see about that? What's the payoff for that?
Well, the payoff is not having to be feel engaged or, you know, yeah, engaged.
Get to stay separate?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that would be another way. Yeah, yeah, to feel separate, not engaged in the relationship, like living it all in someone else's hands.
Mm-hmm. And there can be an element of, well, there's a lot of good things that go with that, right? So it's not my fault.
Right.
So,
well, yeah.
That's a good one. And then a disappointment, because somehow, magically, somebody else choosing should meet our needs.
Right.
So that's a good one. We can wind up in that kind of angry, resentful, bitter place that Laura was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can see a lot of benefits to ego when we don't step out there and choose for ourselves, or at least put our choice on the table.
Right. Right. Yeah, and you know what? So I've been kind of aware of this for a long time, of the not choosing pattern. So then what I've been advised to do by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is to... No,
that
seriously.
Reliable source of advice. I'm right with you.
Right. Is to not do anything. So it's to not involve myself with anyone, sort of.
Ah. Oh, so we're closing in on the big payoff. So then you'll just stay home with ego and...
Right.
Yeah, and be able to listen to its stories around the clock, because there aren't going to be any pesky human beings to throw you, you know, interfere with the relationship.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally, exactly. And, yeah, it's so interesting, Sherry, because I've been looking a lot lately at, how much, this is kind of parallel, just how much egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate hates me. And and hates anything authentic, and also especially what I'm looking at is hates any hint of having a need. Ego hates anything that arises around that, and I don't know. It's just fascinating to me. That's what I can say. It's fascinating,
Virginia,
to me.
What I just saw in that is it hates anything that might take you away from it. So if you have a need, then that is proof that it is not fulfilling your needs.
Right.
And if you were to get clear enough about that, you might pursue something other than this relationship with it.
Right.
And that is really threatening to ego.
Right. That's a really good point, Sherry. That is a really good point. And... up until recently, I hadn't thought of it around relationships. I think of it around in other areas. So this is really good to see. Up until recently, I will be identified with it, and then it will start hating me, and then I'll just jump on board. So only recently I've just realized that it's it hating me. And anyway, I've been doing some things start to recognize that more, and then
you're getting distance.
Getting some distance, yeah. And then just recently it dropped in to kind of do some two-handed recording about needs when that happens. It's like, I don't know, it's starting to become, I'm getting some distance, it's starting to become more of a red flag than a jump on board thing. So it's...
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That disidentification, because what I hear in this is, you're really starting to prioritize her, as we like to say, the authentic human being, over that other relationship that is not only not fulfilling, but hateful.
Exactly.
And you're starting to recognize how you've been fooled into choosing ego, and you're not making that choice. Oh, you're choosing for yourself.
Yeah, right. I'm choosing for myself.
This is very exciting.
It's very exciting. And just choosing to start to frame it like that, that, you know, this is what it's telling me, you know, and this is what's really true. This is what it's telling me. And it starts from the moment I wake up in the morning. This is what it's telling me. And,
of course.
So it's, holy cow. Yeah. But you're right. It is exciting, Sherry. It is really exciting.
Well, and again, with that, once we recognize it, so, you know, for most of us, it wakes us up in the morning, right?
Yeah.
That's what that pattern is. And then we see it. We recognize that, oh, my gosh, that's it. That's what people are wow. Okay, I get it, right? And and everything has changed in that moment. Now it's, okay, where else is this happening? Throughout the day, when do I hear those messages? Oh, my gosh, that's what's beating me up. Wow.
Right.
Okay. Here we go.
Well, it's you're right, though, Sherry, because once I start looking, once I start, I stand on the other side of the lens, then, and I start looking for it, then I can see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Where if I'm, you know, but where if I'm just kind of with it, on board with it, then I can't see it, and then I'm lost in a suffering, big suffering experience.
Yep.
I guess they're all big, but...
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Oh, this is very good. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both very much. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Virginia. Sherry, what struck me most about that was how much we think that identification with ego is a bamboozle that we're not making a choice. In other words, we always are making a choice.
Which is kind of what Virginia is closing in on, right? That non-choice has been a way for ego to choose ego.
That's right. And that it's not easy to see that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not making a choice implies that no choice is being made, but there is a default choice that is always being made.
Yeah. You know, when you said that, so we've been in precepts all week, right? And looking deeply at a lot of these kinds of issues, and that not only is it hard to see what we're talking about here, but for most people, in the beginning, for all of us, and for just about the whole population of the world, it sounds crazy.
Yeah,
it is so far off from normal conditioning that it sounds impossible. It's incomprehensible. So no wonder it takes us a while to catch on to how it's operating throughout our days, throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, it's really hard to see. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here. Calling from home. No, I'm still in San Francisco, actually.
I see. No wonder you sound so close. Okay, good. Well, good.
Right.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing there's some relationships, but based on sort of obligation. Doing my duty, doing the right thing, and sort of taking care of somebody who's unwell, and that somehow that's not fair. That I'm well and they're not, and somehow I don't know if I have to be punished for that or there's something going on there, and that my needs. Sorry.
Is the taking care of that person the punishment, or is there other punishment that for the fact that you're well and this person isn't?
I think it's that I don't get to take care of my needs. I think that has to be sort of set aside so that there's this sort of more important thing that has to be done, and. And I just wonder if after they've gone, whether there's somehow I don't deserve to have the life that I have or something. But I was just sort of seeing that. And, Yeah, that is playing out in I think less so now with practice. There's a bit more awareness of it, but yeah, that thing about seeking that relationship out again, so that I can go over it again and again.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. So this is big, isn't it? So
it is.
What we're meant to believe is you don't get to have your life because you need to take care of this other person, but this is temporary. Right, this is content that is temporary. So, you know, at some point that person will be gone, and then you'll get to have your life. That's the story. But what you're suspecting is, if my projection is accurate, what you're suspecting is that if that karma is what is holding this in place, not circumstances, then you will simply replace that other person with somebody else who will make sure that you have to take care of them instead of having your life. Is that where we are?
Yeah, and so I never get to have my life, do I?
Yeah,
But it's just recently I've got a dog at the moment, and he's quite elderly, and I have to look after him quite a lot. And,
a dog?
A dog, yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorry?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, he's not sick or anything, but he's a, you know, he's an elderly gentleman kind of.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, yeah. So I'm in this relationship again. Well, I'm doing quite a lot of things for him, and so I'm just in that playing out again. You know, doing his special meals for him and things like that. Yeah. So.
Yes. So this is very good, isn't it? Because without the awareness that you're bringing to this, the odds that that pattern would repeat are huge.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, bringing awareness to it now, and boy, this really is a write it in big letters and put it on your wall. Lots of recordings about this, that when you make choices for things in your life. So, you know, this old fellow moves on, and then you start hearing voices about, there's so many other old dogs, and they don't have anybody to take care of them. And so maybe what you could do is, and it'll sound like a really good idea, because when karma sees itself and it's making an argument for itself, it sounds like a really good idea. Right? And then you're going to look up at that wall and say, "Is that's going to be a lot of work. That's going to be full time. There's not going to be anything left over for, is this really what I want to choose?"
Yeah, no, but that's exactly right, because it did cross my mind that he might like another elderly companion to see out his days. And, so it's exactly it, yeah. No, I don't need to. I've got one dog's enough. Don't
Thank
need to.
God you're catching on to this, right?
Yeah, anyway, so there really is a thing there, isn't there, for me to, that I don't keep taking on all this, this karma.
Yes, and, you know, full circle back to where Laura started us off, When we see these kinds of patterns, to give ourselves, now I know Laura, from what Laura said, she didn't actively choose not to be in a relationship, right? But life arranged that. And so when we recognize a karmic pattern like this, to give ourselves time not to fall into that karma again. So if it's relationship with a human, a creature, a job, or whatever it is, if we find ourselves outside that karma, to give ourselves enough time to experience what it's like outside that karma, and give ourselves a better chance of seeing ourselves get pulled back into it again, and maybe sidestep it.
Yes, yeah, so to just have a space mm-hmm. outside of it. It's just, it's all flashing through my mind now. I'm just seeing this all over the place now, just as we're talking. So, it does feel really huge.
Lots of recordings.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
Good.
And
yeah.
I felt deep gusho to everybody on the retreat. Thank you to everybody who was there. So thank you.
And you be safe, okay? All right.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen from Rhinebeck, but also still in San Francisco.
It's a good thing we have such a fabulous stopping over place. Isn't it? These big distances people are traveling. What are you seeing, Jen?
Well, I am seeing something similar to what Virginia was pointing at earlier in the call, and I'm looking at the relationship with my mother, my father, and my brother, who are kind of like a unit. My brother is only a year younger than me, but he has never lived outside of our house except for, you know, outside of the family's house. He's lived with my parents his whole life except for 1 year. So they're kind of this dysfunctional unit together, the three of them. So I decided, because I'm ambitious and I was on retreat, that it felt like I could tackle all three relationships. And I'm glad, because what I'm seeing is something, I'm seeing a pattern that's similar among the three, not just with one of them, you know, and that is the pattern of that I tend to, like ego gathers as much information as it can about a person so that it can make conclusions. And those conclusions are always that, well, this is as far as this relationship can go. So my hands are tied, you know, oh, well, you know, and kind of absolve me from any effort, you know, in the relationship, or absolve me from any obligation, or, you know, just I can write people off that way.
Well, yes, and temporarily, I would guess, since they're still in your life, but it also validates your perception, right? So then, right, you take it back up again, and they are the way conditioning has decided they are, and that means that. And
they're
then
still crazy.
They're still crazy. Yeah, and yep. it really is hopeless, and you're right. Right, that, which is something that, of course, that ego just adores when we can be right about how wrong somebody else is.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's very isolating. It's just very isolating because you know, it means I don't want to spend any time with them, and I don't, you know, and it's, and like Colin was just saying, it's like it's not just them. You know, I look around and it's sort of like I have a lot of really close friendships which have, I've always thought, have kind of replaced the role that my family, you know, one assumes a family might play. But I even see in all of those relationships, I've categorized people. Like, this person I can talk about these things with, and I can only go this far with them, and that's their role. And then that person over there, they do this for me. And it's all about, like, what people do for me.
Wow. And in seeing that, what a clear map of how ego is holding itself in place. That's astonishing, isn't it?
It was huge, because I felt like I would always have, you know, ego would always, I suppose, have described me as like, sure, I'm a great listener. I'm always there. You know, I'll show up if somebody needs me to, kind of thing. You know, like, I'm a good person, quote unquote. You know, and I'm sort of seeing my own role in this, like, being, or ego's role, I guess, being like, trying. It really is like, what can I get from this person? If you can't give ego what it needs, then you get put into this category. You know, or when it's clear what I can get from you, you get put in that category, and then I kind of go to you for that thing when I need it.
And what we miss in that is so if we go back to your family, what is it, I don't even know how to phrase this really, but it's what is being held in place with me, because there's so much wrong with those people.
That's right.
What do I not have to embrace in me
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By not being in relationship with them. So, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah.
And so what in me can't stand to be around crazy people? It has nothing to do with them. You know, in that way, they just become kind of actors in your play, which everybody
That's
is.
Right.
We've established that, right? Not just yours, but all of us. And so, so what's the problem with crazy people?
Yeah. It's very much like, I think it was Jill the other day saying, like, realizing that, oh, my God, I have my mother's karma. Like, I am my mother. As that realization takes place as I get older, and I also see very much, of course, how I'm my father, but it's like, wow, like, this is really an opportunity to not let that karma go. Well, there isn't going to be a next generation in my case, but we could hop to somebody else, you know, like to just resolve it.
Truly. We don't just have to pass this along to our children. Karma is doing what karma does until it gets cleaned up wherever it gets cleaned up.
Yeah.
So we still have the opportunity to do that service, right, of ending the karma in us in this lifetime. And of course, it's wonderful for us as well as any other contribution to life, right? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that is, I keep going to this place, but this is big. It's very exciting.
It's huge.
Yeah.
No, it feels really huge. So, and I just echo like my gratitude for all of Sangha and the monks and the guides for, you know, for this past week. It was really spectacular.
It was, wasn't it? It's a good time. All right.
Yes,
well, thank you so much. Yeah. What?
I just want to add, I was recording last night and Ego was saying, no, I don't feel as different as I usually feel after a retreat. And then I went to go into my phone and my phone is not recognizing my thumbprint anymore.
Oh.
Which, you know how it has the little like, you know, you get instead of using your passcode, you purchase your thumbprint. And I thought, oh, how interesting. Like, I've clearly changed enough that my thumbprint is no longer recognizable. Ego is telling me nothing's different.
Ego's right, right? Ego's right. Nothing has changed for ego.
That's right.
All right. Well, you have safe travels too, all right?
Thank you. All right.
Thanks, Jen.
Go bye happy. Bye.
Go
happy. Jen. Sherry, we're at the end of the show, but I had a thought that was so important that when we feel ourselves transforming after every retreat, there's a way in which it's incremental rather than dramatic because we are living the transformation.
Yes,
The
transformation came to the retreat.
That's right.
We
don't feel that differently because we are different and we're living the difference.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, that's good to remember, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's like somebody comes for there's nothing wrong with your retreat and the whole life is different after the retreat. And then you come to your practice retreat and the places of insight might be more subtle. But that's because the transformation was so incredible the first time around, and that's where we're living from.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really hard to see that, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just projected onto Jen a very different relationship with my thumbprint isn't working. You know, it's not the, oh, my God, what's going to happen? That ego would have us in at one point in our lives. It's more a seeing the humor of, well, I guess I am different. Even my fingerprints are different.
So our assignment for today, what are were the hard places? Record and listen.
That same process, yeah. All right. And today is Friday, isn't it? So we'll have a couple of more and then get together on Monday, good Lord willing. And So everybody enjoy, huh? Go happy, treasure yourself.
Go happy and treasure yourself. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.